Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. The more I'm here, the more I appreciate it. We're going to look in John 1. My wife's not here. She is taking care of our three-year-old, our crazy daughter. She's 3 years old. She's normally just bouncing off the walls, can't contain her, and she's very lethargic, and she slept most of the day yesterday, so we kept her back. But today, we're going to talk about the glory of God. And as what started this whole me on the glory of God was I was trying to prepare for a message that I was going to do before that February storm, that big giant snowstorm. And the message was going to, it started off as the identity of Jesus. And so I'm doing that identity of Jesus, and I had my notebook, and I'm doing the notes. And I look back, and I was like 12 pages in, which means that's like 3 weeks for me of teaching. And I was like, well, this isn't going to work, and I'm not even halfway done yet. So the glory of God was just part of Jesus' identity that I saw. We brought it up in the first part where, you know, the Son of God was almost Jesus' glory. So we're just going to read John 1, and then we'll get into it. John 1, 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, and that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. They're talking about John the Baptist being the forerunner before Jesus came. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Just open up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have, the beautiful day, the spring that's coming, and the new growth that we see. We thank you for that, and please help us that we'll all be able to learn something and apply this to our lives and the words that you will speak through me. And Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. So, what is glory? Glory is the manifestation of the presence of God. Manifestation means the showing of God. So, I want to look at three different things of God's glory. How do we obtain God's glory? What is the glory of God? And how can we show God's glory in every day? Now, we heard one person's this morning of what is the glory of God. I could guarantee every person in here has a different picture of what God's glory is. We at Bristol, we were supposed to bring in an 8x11 picture of what we thought God's glory was. And there was 60 people there. People brought friends in, and all the kids did their own picture. And there was not one picture the same. It wasn't even close. Like, there was a couple that had, you know, a couple nature pictures, but it was like one snow picture, one tree picture, one cloud picture, one ocean picture. It was creation, but it was different. And You know, part of my personal picture was my family. It was my wedding picture. Our wedding picture was very different than anyone else's wedding picture because it was everybody that went to the reception and everything that was my wedding picture. So to me, you know, the picture of family was mine. And so God's glory to each person can be completely different from one thing to another. But all should point to the same thing. Like first service, you know, everyone stands up and they say they'll say their things and their little messages, and but it's all, everything's different, but it all points to the same thing, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And if we were to take a Bible verse, and we did this, I had this little class that we had, like a Bible teaching class, and we all took the same verse, and it was a very, you know, simple verse, like, say, we'll say, he cares for you, and we're all supposed to preach on that for 5 minutes. Every one of us had something different, and I think there was 10 of us in the class. We all came with different scripture. We had different thing to talk about. So a lot of what God's glory is going to be different from person to person. So if you're talking about it with somebody else and they're different than you, they're not necessarily wrong. So just keep that in mind. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19. If you see me squinting at my notes, I have allergies too, so my left eye is swollen. I can't really see that good out of it. I try not to follow my notes. I'm just kidding. 2:19-20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. So, Paul right there, for ye are our glory and joy. He's talking in the church, and he was just saying, you know, you guys are our glory. Paul went through a very struggling time being in prison and all that stuff, and he still looked at God and found good in his situation. How can we obtain the glory? And one thing my dad always said was, don't touch the glory. And that doesn't mean, you know, don't try to obtain. What my dad was talking about when he said don't touch the glory was, there was a gentleman, he was a biker. I'm not going to mention his name because I don't like him. And but he was a biker and he had cancer. And they went up to him for an interview and they said, are you going to thank God for beating cancer? And he said, God didn't beat it, I did. That's touching the glory. That's taking all the glory. Now, if you were to go up to someone like Tebow, I like him, I'll talk about him. They say, you know, how did that amazing play happen where you won the game and the one, well, the Lord's good to me. You know, the Lord helped us out and I didn't really see it, and the Lord just, he really was there. That is not touching the glory. He's giving the glory to God, and when something's directed at him where, you know, it's you, and he'll just, no, it's really him, it's him. And it's really redirecting the good to God. Now, if someone comes up to you and says, you know, thank you for helping me move, and you say, well, thank God. Yes, thank God, but also you're allowed to take a thanks. You know, it's okay to say you're welcome. So we've had a lot of that. But, you know, and sometimes it is truly from God. You know, my brother, there was one time when he was back, he was struggling with his job, and he had switched jobs from the restaurant business to the oil business, and he was like $200 short of bills. And someone came over to him and handed him $200. And my brother said, thank you. And the guy said, you know what, it wasn't me. It truly came from God. Somebody else gave this to me, and I'm just literally carried it 20 feet, you know. But God works, he takes care of the little things, but So how do we obtain? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Now, in Hebrews 11, shows a lot of faithful, it's the book of faithful guys, basically. And I think there's a woman in there too. But a lot of faithful people, chapter 11. And to obtain glory, you really do need faith. And you need to make sure God's real to you. If someone was to put you on a lie detector test, now this was a question brought to me. If someone was to put you on a lie detector test and said, is God real? What would you say on the lie detector test, and would you pass it if you said yes? And a lot of Christians will not pass that test. They don't have the faith. And you know what? I was that way for a very long time. If someone put me on a lie detector test and said, is God real? I would go, yes. And I bet you that needle would be flicking away. And now, I don't think it would be flying, but, you know, it may move a little. But, there, you know, we're humans. And there's that, well, if I can't see him, is he real? But there's all the evidence. There's the glory that he brings to us on an everyday basis. The trees and the wind and the sun, the beautiful sunsets, the moonlight, the eclipses, the stars. You know, it's everyday basis, he brings it to us. So if you were on that lie detector test, would you pass? Would you not? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, obtaining the glory, I think of the church a lot like plants. So, you have someone come in to church because you planted a seed, right? You planted a seed, you put the seed in the ground. What do you have to do to the seed to make it grow? Water it. What else? Feed it. You have to feed it. You have to water it. Something about the ground that has to be, you know, normally it's got to be decent ground, right? Don't want to put it right on the tar. Like, that's not going to work. Unless you have that miracle grass. Well, what is that? That miracle grass. You know what I'm talking about? That miracle grass. They say it could grow anywhere. But what did they have around it? There's basically a silicone with dirt around it. So they're like making its own little environment. But so you need, for that seed, you need water, you need good soil, you need the food, you need the sunshine. And so all these things, and it doesn't grow overnight. You need the patience. It says to run with patience the race that is set before us. Has anyone ever done that lima bean test where you take the lima bean and you put the sponge, you take a wet sponge, take a lima bean, you put it in. You put one in the closet and you put one in the sun. The one in the sun grows, it only takes about a week to do. So if you have a lima bean laying around and an extra sponge, try this. The one in the sun will grow dark green and maybe about an inch tall. Say, yeah, inch and a half. The one in the closet still grows, but it's almost white, and it will probably be about 4 inches tall. So it grows more without the sun, but it is not healthy at all. Now, me, being the bad student that I was, try to mess up the, you know, all these little experiments, but in my part of messing it up, I actually found some weird little discoveries. If you take two lima beans and put it together and put it in the woods, they lean on each other. And if you put multiples, some will lean on each other and other ones will go in just the opposite direction. And something about that, you know, with church, it could have, if you're sticking together and doing the right thing, it will grow. And it will lean on each other and grow. And eventually, if you take that cup and you put it into the light, it'll turn green. It'll grow properly, leaning on each other. And it'll be almost impossible to take it apart. So if you're going through this time of struggle and you're starting to lean on each other, and then it's brought out into the light, and now you start growing, and it grows, and now it's stronger, it's growing, and it's almost indestructible. You almost can't kill it. So that was my lima bean. Now, what race are we trying to do? What is this race? You know, all the old timers always tell you it's not a race, it's a marathon. It's a long stretch, it's no sprint. You have to continually do these things, and you live your life, and you don't live it, you know, 30 seconds at a time. Or, but one of the teachings I heard is, you know, don't be a cell phone Christian, which meant like, don't just wait for the next phone call and that's what you're going to do. And while he was teaching, I called him. He checked his phone. But what is the race? And we're here for a couple reasons. One is the furtherance of the gospel, and the other one for God's pleasure. Now, when being a father now, there's not much that makes me happier than my children laughing and smiling and playing and things like that. There's not much can compare to that. So when my oldest daughter helps my youngest daughter walk, I was like, Shai, what are you doing with her? I'm helping her walk, Daddy. Oh, all right. That's cool. It makes me very happy. So part of furtherance of the gospel is sometimes taking that person, picking them up, and helping them out. To show God's glory, sometimes you have to just only by example. That's the only thing you could do, is just basically reflect it. And it's not like, you know, you look at the moon, you see how, you know, the moon's got all the little craters and things like that, and the moon doesn't have its own light. The only thing it does is reflect the sun. But so there's some nights it's so bright where you don't need your light on outside. You know, the moon is there, and it's just so bright. So, in John, we'll go back to John 1. So, I remember this morning I said something about, okay, we'll read verse 3. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing. Without him, not anything was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. One thing with light, it always consumes the darkness. And the darker it is, the smaller of a light it needs to make it bright in there. You know, if you close all your doors, if you get in your closet, in your house, or, you know, I in my bedroom, a lot of time when I wake up in the morning, it's still dark out. So it's all I have to do is hit the little button on my phone. It's not a flashlight or anything. It's just the light of the keypad on the phone, and it brights up the whole room. If I was to do it right now, you would have no idea. So the darker it is, the light still consumes. So even if you feel like you're doing nothing, like right now at my job, we're doing spring cleanups, and we clean up the sticks in the yard. In fall, we clean up the leaves. So you come in, there's a blanket of leaves. We come in, we move the leaves. It looks clean. It looks like we did something. right now, we come in and we clean the whole yard better than we did in the fall to make sure the grass is standing upright, that there's no dead grass in the ground. And it looks like we did nothing. It took us longer. It was harder to do. We get less money for it, but it was a necessity. And there's certain things where in our Christian walk, we'll do these small things that seem like nothing. Like the brothers counting the money in the back room. That may seem like a small, meaningless task. But if they didn't do that, the lights wouldn't be on today. The place wouldn't be mowed. There would be other things. It would be freezing in here. And it's small tasks. They may seem like nothing, but they are huge to God. And that's why I think also why God takes the little things and shows them to us. Like he could do these big things. He could move mountains. He could move the wind. But then he gives us these like little, hey, how you doing? Like here and there with the little prayer and a quick answer. And I forgot something and here's a reminder. God always seems to be there, and that's because he is. So, being a light in the darkness. So, how can we show God's glory? Now, one thing about planting a seed, it talks about being the vine dresser. John 15:1. This I thought was very interesting about vines and grapevines and things like that, but we'll just read the verse real quick. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it and make it bring forth more fruit. Now, something with this, with the vine, with the grape vine, you would think they would take the best grape seeds and put it in the best soil, correct? That would be like, to me, the common sense thing to do. I am not a vine guy, so they actually take the best grape seed and they put it in like mediocre soil. And they do this to almost stress out the seed, and it will bring forth better fruit than if they put it in good soil, which I thought that was very, very interesting. Talked about us being the branches and the Lord being the vine dresser. Now, as I just told you, I didn't think that was the best idea, but I'm a branch, and he's the vine dresser, right? He's the man. And the Lord says, you know, this is the way that I want it to be done. This is the way it's going to happen. Even if I don't think it's a good idea, which I thought that was not a good idea to put the best one in rocky soil. But it starts bringing the best fruit. Now when it's bringing the best fruit, and he will keep the vine going, and anything that's bad, he takes it completely off. And anything growing fruit, he starts even cutting away at. And to us, to me, at least the untrained eye of a vine dresser, why are you cutting that? It's already growing fruit, but it could be better. And he starts snipping it. And in our everyday walk, there's certain things where, you know, we will pat ourselves on the back for. Like, I just did that. That's pretty good. I hope that guy moved. I said, praise the Lord. That's pretty good. And we pat ourselves on the back. The Lord will prune us. If we think our things are going really well, there may be something that goes wrong that's like a little speed bump. And what is it? And it's just really to make us better. As that, you take the lima beans and you hide them from the sun, and they grow together and become stronger when you pull them out. We go through these like little hiccups, and the Lord will make us stronger out of them. So how else can we show God's glory? Does anyone have a way that they can show God's glory? Any thoughts? Anything? A couple ways is discipleship, which is taking someone younger or just taking somebody with you along the way. Planting a seed, watching the plant grow. One thing that I was extremely challenged with was there's a gentleman at work. This was cool. This has never happened to me before. And I work very early in the morning. Everyone's very cranky. And it was break time, 6:15, we take our break in the morning, yes, in the morning. And guy comes up to me, he's, "Josh, can I talk to you real quick?" So I said, "Sure." So we walked to the side. Excuse me. And we walked to the side, and he says, "I want you to know I'm a Christian. I know you're a Christian. I'm a Christian." And he goes, "I'm just really happy that there's now two Christians, at least, in UPS." And he gives me a hug. That, to me, was just incredible. You know, I just wasn't expecting it. And so that gentleman, every single day, I work next to him, but he says, every single day, "Give me a scripture." And he wants a different scripture every single day. So every single day, he expects me to come in and give him a new scripture. And that's a big commitment, you know? It's a lot of times he's asking me at like 3:45 in the morning, what's my scripture? And he's dead serious. And if I don't have it, he was like, "He messed up my day." And, you know, and I'm not ready for all that. But so now I try to write it down, or I'll, you know, I used to like memorize him and then tell him it. And now is what I do is I started giving him the reference and verse, and I'm making him look it up now. And then the next day, I won't give him a new scripture unless he tells me what the other one was. So he was holding me accountable, and now I am holding him accountable. Plus, it saves me a couple days of getting a verse. So it's that in a way is discipleship. Keeping each other accountable. It doesn't necessarily have to be an older with a younger. It could be just straight up equals. And the other way to show God's glory is just completely by example. 1 Timothy 4:12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thy example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Excuse me, I'm sorry. So we have a couple of things there. We have word, conversation, love, spirit, faith, purity. Be an example in word. How hard is that to do? Especially if like you stub your toe or you get whacked in the eye with a rock from a weed whacker, from a guy not paying attention. In conversation, I work in a shop. Conversation is very hard to keep pure in where I work. And, you know, these guys will come up with dirty jokes and then I'm like, yeah. And the best thing is to, you know, just try to push it off or whatever, but don't even listen to it. Not only, like, just don't have anything to do with it. And because then they're going to associate, "Well, I told Josh that joke. He laughed. He laughed it off, and you're laughing it off, and you weren't even paying attention," but don't even let him tell you it. In love. Be an example in love. Now, love is a big subject. is very big. I preached on it one time, and I thought it was going to be like an easy subject. It's very difficult. And love can mean so many things in so many different ways. And and we had, I work with landscaping, and one of the gentlemen said, I can tell that you really are a Christian. And I said, why? And he said, you love everybody. He said, this guy will wrong you and you love him. And I was like, I don't love everybody. Trust me. I don't really like you right now. you hit me in the eye with a rock, with the weed whacker. But showing by your love, and it's when you get mad at somebody, you got to keep your words right, you know, but you still got to love. One thing when my kids growing up is, you know, we'll get mad at them for doing the wrong thing, and we'll discipline them. And we normally send them to their room, and they don't like being alone, so they sit in the corner or whatever, and that's bad enough for them. But then afterwards, we say, you know, I love you. I only did it to help you. It's only because I love you. So love can come in just all different ways. But we have to be an example in love. In the spirit. Now, something that I like, I have a friend, Martin, out at the landscape company, and his spirit is always very high. No matter what is going on, Martin is in a good mood. And I do believe he is a Christian, but Martin, we got to go dig a hole. Let's get it done. It's going to be a good day. The God's at least behind the rain or something like that. Like, we'll be digging in the rain. God's still there watching over us. And he makes those comments for me because he knows I'm a church guy, but he's always has good spirits. And Martin, what are you doing right now? Oh, I've been snow blowing for 14 hours. God's good though. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, sleeping. And he was like, oh, well, good for you. Good for you. You know, always spirits high. In faith. Be an example in faith. Now, faith, that comes back to that lie detector test. And, you know, is God real to you? Sorry, keep going. Is God real to you? How can you make, if God is real to you, how can you make God real to somebody else? And that's part of like the discipleship, taking someone under your wing. If God's real to you, you make God real to somebody else. You help them out. We did a little experiment with witnessing in our youth group, and we're like, all right, Vinny, we want you to witness to Bryce. And so Vinny said, okay, no problem, piece of cake. And he was like, you need Jesus. Bryce was like, I got Jesus. And they were like, looked at us, we're all done. And we're like, that's it? And we're like, yeah. So we're like, Bryce, make Vinny a Christian. So he's like, all right. Bryce's like, do you love God? And Vinny's like, yeah, he's okay. Well, you need to go to church. Vinny's like, okay. And they're like, all right, we're done. And I'm like, that's it. And I said, yeah. So I said, okay. And I said, the Yankees stink. Vinny goes, what are you, crazy? We got this guy, we got this guy, we got this guy. We paid this much for him. We traded this guy over here. And I was like, whoa. And I was like, you know what, Bryce? And he said, what's up? I said, the Patriots stink. He said, we got Wes Welker. We got Tom Brady. We got this guy. We got this guy. And this guy, we got the coach is the best coach. And I was like, do you see what you guys just did? And they were like, no. And I was like, apparently the Patriots are real to you, and the Yankees were real to him, and they were able to just talk about it. And they knew everything about it, and they were so excited that Bryce made me want to be a Patriots fan, and there is nothing that will make me want to be a Yankee fan, but he could try. But they were excited about it, and I could at least respect that he likes the Yankees now. And he genuinely did like the Yankees. And I was okay with that. Not really, but I was okay. I counseled him for a couple of sessions, 4 hours a day for 3 weeks, get him to the Red Sox. So, verse 13 on that, it says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Now, that's Paul when I come. But when I first read it, I thought, you know, it's for when Jesus comes back. So when Jesus comes, until Jesus comes back for us, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. So read your Bible, know it well, teach others about it, make it real to you. And just be ready. One of the first, like, in that teaching class I did, we had to do like a 15-minute, and the first one I did was some be ready. And one thing, you never know what's going to come up. You don't know what's coming next. We weren't promised tomorrow. We really don't know what's around the corner. I was in Boston on Friday, and you know how they have that big dig thing, and it's all the underground. And when you're driving through those tunnels, or the shoulder is about this big. And so you got the cars, you know, going like 70 miles an hour around these turns, and you cannot see anything in front of you going that fast. And the shoulder being this big, you know, and a car is like this big. If the car is there, broken down or hit the wall or something like that, like, you're hitting them when you come around the corner, you know. And it's just, you just don't know what's around the corner. And I was like, you need a lot of faith to be driving in Boston all the time. And that's what I was telling my father-in-law. I was like, it's scary down here. I don't like it. The GPS didn't work. It was bad. We got lost a couple times. And he was like, we got plenty of time. I'm like, I just don't want to be lost. But, you know, just be ready. Because if you remember the story of Elijah and Elisha, if you don't, Elijah trained Elisha and gave him a double portion of whatever Elijah had. So Shah got a double portion of Jah. And they weren't ready for that whole situation. But when I was studying that, I used either big E and little E, or E1 and E2. Like, so I knew them apart. But so, you know, when E2, or little E, was getting ready, they didn't know that Elijah was going to be taken up in a whirlwind, and it was at a moment's notice. And sometimes that's how God works with us. So just three ending points. And are you looking at your life with an untrained eye? Are we looking at ourselves as us being untrained? Are we trying to look through God's eyes and looking at our own life and being realistic about, like, our abilities? I remember there was this, it was my mom. It was my mom. It was probably like 15 years ago, but she was like, I could do a cartwheel. We're like, Maya, you can't do a cartwheel. And she's like, I got the cartwheel thing. I used to do all the time when I was in high school. And we're like, you're not in high school anymore. Needless to say, she couldn't do the high school, and we recorded the whole thing. But it was very funny. But she wasn't, like, well aware of her abilities. Yes, she was able to do it, but then she wasn't able to do it because she hasn't done it in so long. So, you know, if we don't witness for 20 years, it's going to be very difficult for us to start again. So one thing about doing it is you should just do it all the time. You are going to get, you know, denied and told no and stuff like that. But with witnessing, it's something that should be all the time. And you don't necessarily have to witness all the time preaching at someone. It could be by example with those six examples in word, conversation, love, spirit, faith, and purity. People will notice. They will realize that, you know, you don't swear or swear as much as everyone else, I'll say. But that's a big thing. If you don't swear, you know, because everyone swears. So it's like a little thing, but it's hard to do because if you're always hearing it and it's on TV and it's on the radio and then you make it a point and you try not to, people will notice. Can you trust the vine dresser? You know, and as we're bearing fruit and we're doing these things, are we trusting the vine dresser? He's pruning us, and are we taking the pruning? Like, is it, or are we, like, just pushing it off? No, God, I know what's right for me. I know what's right for my family, and I don't need that right now. Or are we trusting him and say, God, what am I trying to learn from this? What are you teaching me? Or are we trying to just skip it all together? So, and the third one was, are you responding to the pruning? After you're being pruned and the Lord is trying to work with you and teach you something, are you learning? Are you changing what you were doing from doing before? You know, the children, they're hitting the baseball and, you know, my daughter will hold the bat the wrong way or something, and she'll try to swing and she won't swing well. So me being like their coach, I walk up and I'll say, do it this way. And then, you know, it'll be easier to come around. And the next time they get up the bat, what did they do? Did they go this way or this way? And that all depends on my daughter and how she just feels like, whether she's joking around or not. But did she learn? Did she adjust to the coaches, to the vine dresser? Is she going to change and mold to what God wants us so that we can reflect God's glory? Because we can't do it ourselves. We can't reflect God's glory ourselves because it's not going to work. I tried it when I was in high school. I didn't do too good. God took all my hair off. But I just want to close with that and just remember God's glory and just show God's glory the best that you can. And to everyone, it is going to be a little bit different. But you guys show God's glory and the Lord will bless you for it. Let's just close. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are. All that you've done for us, we thank you for this beautiful day once again. Please help that we all were able to learn something and just that we'll be able to apply it to our lives. And we just thank you for the glory of God and just the presence that you have with us. And please help that we'll just be a light in this dark world for you. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.